In a global industry where anything can happen, where mistakes cost much more than dollars, we bring you expertise from around the world to ensure that everyone goes home safe every day. The internationally acclaimed Oil & Gas HSE podcast starts now with your host, Russell Stewart.
Hey, everybody. As always, thanks for listening. Before I introduce my guest on the show today, I want to introduce the show itself. You all know this is a podcast that focuses on health, safety, and the environment. And that might at first glance make you think if I'm not in HSE specifically, then this podcast shouldn't be in my repertoire. And as regular listeners to this show have heard me say ad nauseum, everyone is in HSE, whether specifically or not, because all our roles in oil and gas revolve around and we're all responsible for and we play a part in workers' health, safety, and the environment. So this podcast is for everyone. And with that thinking, we have a broad array of topics and guests on the show. Now, two things you can tell when you listen to the introduction on the show is, one, you hear that, one, this show is international in scope. You hear that lovely British voiceover come on introducing the show, and then my Texas accent comes on. And we are heard in 134 different countries, which we're proud of that fact. The second thing is, when you listen to the introduction to the show, we do focus more on the S in HSE, and everyone coming home safe is paramount. But health and even the environment is a part of all this as well. And today our focus is on the E in HSE. And something else you've heard me say over and over again is that the oil and gas industry is not the problem with the environment. It's going to be the solution. You've heard me tell the story of when I said that at a methane emissions conference that I was moderating, and the panelists in this session looked at me like I was out of my mind. And I've often recounted when I said that if looks could kill, I wouldn't be here today. And without getting into my whole 40-minute speech on that, which is, by the way, something I'm happy to give if anyone's looking for a speaker at their conference, but the simple fact is we need the oil and gas industry to sustain our standard of living. Are there environmental issues and problems associated with it? Yes, but we can't throw the proverbial baby out with the bathwater. So what we have to do and what the industry is doing is we have to find cost-effective ways to reduce emissions efficiently. And I said all that by way of introduction to introduce my guest and the topic on the show today. Today, my guest is Thomas Mee. Thomas is the chairman and CEO of Mee Industries. Thomas, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Thomas, tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us about Mee Industries.
I'm Thomas Mee, CEO of Mee Industries, as you said. I've been with the company 43 years. I started in product development. I've been heavily involved in application of fogging systems to many different industrial and commercial applications around the world for many years now. And Mee Industries was founded in 1969 by my father. He was a cloud physicist. He studied clouds. So he developed a fogging system as a captive cloud that he could do cloud seeding experiments with.
Cloud seeding?
Yeah.
That's an interesting topic.
Back in the 1960s.
Wow. Was that revolutionary technology back then, or?
It was being done generally. I think he had a research project grant with the department of some government department that wanted to look at both cloud seeding and fog clearing. So some of the early work he did was clearing fog off of runways and highways and things like that.
I tell you what, I was driving into Houston yesterday. I could have used some of that fog clouding technology for sure.
You can actually use a cloud to clear a cloud.
Wow, that's interesting.
Kind of counterintuitive, but it does work.
Okay, Thomas, so that's not what we're supposed to be talking about. What we're actually talking about is is it gas turbine fogging as it relates to the energy sector? Is that what we're dealing with?
Yeah, here? So we call it gas turbine inlet air fogging. And Mee Industries, but we've been doing that since 1991, our first installation, which actually is still in operation today. We have about 1,200 installations around the world on turbines from 1 megawatt to 400 megawatt. So a lot of experience and a lot of installations in many different environments and locations around the world. The technology works by we atomize water in the inlet duct to the gas turbine. And we make extremely small droplets, like 10 micron average particle size. And since droplets are spheres, when you make them very small, you expose a lot of surface area of water to the air. And that results in very rapid evaporation. So within a second or so, we can cool the inlet air to the gas turbine. And that makes it more efficient. It reduces NOx emissions since it quenches the combustion process to reduce NOx. And it increases power output for 20 degrees Fahrenheit of cooling. We get about a 7 or 8% power boost on a big turbine and as much as 30% on a smaller aeroderivative turbine. So it's a pretty significant power boost. And one advantage of the technology is it's very easy to retrofit. So most of the installations we've done around the world are retrofitting to existing turbines. So an older turbine that maybe even is reaching end of life can be rejuvenated by installing a fog system on it and increasing its power output.
Okay, so that's interesting. So as I tried to say in the introduction to the show, we need the oil and gas industry. We need the gas turbines that run the oil and gas industry. They do create emissions. What we're trying to do is we're trying to be more environmentally friendly. We're trying to reduce emissions, but we've got to do so in reasonable and economical ways. This system that you guys specialize in, that's basically what it does. It does a couple of things. First of all, you said you get to these gas turbines that are at the end of life and you increase their time of life. Is that right?
And increase their output pretty dramatically. But we also do new gas turbines. We're installing on a GE9F in Baghdad currently. That's actually still under warranty. It's a brand new turbine just being started up. So we do both old and new.
So even the gas turbines are more environmentally friendly?
Correct. Yeah, a gas turbine produces much less CO2 per megawatt compared to a coal plant, for example. So in America, we've shut down a lot of coal plants, and gas turbines have had to pick up some of that.
They've had to pick up the slack.
And then as we introduce more and more renewable power, wind and solar, it destabilizes the grid because it's not instantly dispatchable. If the sun's not shining and the wind's not blowing, the power's not there. So gas turbines back up that renewable energy. And that means they have to be able to respond quickly, which puts a lot of thermal stress on the gas turbine. Starting and stopping it creates thermal stresses that reduce the lifespan of the equipment. So fogging can also help there because we can increase the power output of a turbine in seconds if needed, right? We can go from 100 megawatts to 120 megawatts in less than 60 seconds. But we also deploy the fog in stages. For example, if we're doing 20 degrees of cooling, we might have 10 stages of 2 degrees of cooling each. And so each time you add a stage, you're adding some power. So you might have, for example, 0.5 megawatt per stage. So you can control the fogging system by staging it up and down, and that controls the power output. So in Tuxpan, Mexico, for example, we did inlet fogging that the fog system itself is connected to the AGC signal, automatic generation control signal. So the grid operator is actually turning on and off stages of fog depending on how much power they need. And again, that can happen very quickly, in some cases faster than the gas turbine itself could ramp. So it's rapidly deployable.
Okay, that's always good. But I'm trying to get my head around this picture. So I've got this conventional gas turbine out there, and it's running. And this fogging system looks like what?
So we would install a manifold of atomizing nozzles in the inlet duct, typically just downstream of the inlet filters, so in the filter house of the gas turbine. And that manifold has many nozzles on it, and the nozzles atomize water, which flows into the duct and evaporates as the air travels to the compressor inlet. So the advantage to the turbine is it cools the air, which makes it denser, and gas turbines are air-breathing machines, so the more air they get, the more power they can make. So every gas turbine operator knows that on a cold winter night, their turbine makes a lot more power than it does on a hot summer afternoon. So we can cool the inlet to the wet bulb temperature, which in a desert can be quite low. It can be 60 degrees Fahrenheit, for example. But also in very humid environments like Malaysia, Thailand, for example, we have many installations there. Because it's humid naturally, we can't cool as much, but we can still cool 10 to 15 degrees on a warm afternoon in Kuala Lumpur, for example. And that's still a very significant power boost.
That's just what I was going to say. That just 10 to 15% is significant, right?
Yeah. We use demineralized water to protect the gas turbine from mineral deposits that could form if you had minerals in the water. If you have water on site, the cost per kilowatt of augmented power can be quite small, 1/10 that of new capacity of installing a new gas turbine. And if you need water treatment also, it's still probably between 5 and 10 times cheaper than buying a new gas turbine. So often we'll have customers, Iraq 10 years ago is a good example. They have many gas turbines in Iraq. They're old and worn out because during the sanctions and the war, they were not maintained properly. So we were able to go in and retrofit fogging systems with a total project time of 24 months from when they ordered it to when it was turned on, which is very quick compared to getting a new gas turbine. New turbines, I think, currently are about 3-year delivery time. Some people say 5 years. So it can be done very quickly. And because we did some 20-odd turbines there, the total power boost from the fogging was equivalent to installing, I don't know, 4 or 5 new gas turbines for a fraction of the cost and with a very short delivery time.
I was going to ask you, I probably don't even need to ask the question now because we're talking about water. You need water source, maybe even you need water treatment. So I'm thinking about areas like West Texas or something like that. But you mentioned Iraq. Obviously, that's arid area. What are the logistics as far as getting the water?
Yeah, sometimes it's challenging for a peaking plant that doesn't have demand water available. We've had customers install large tanks on a site and truck water in. Not a very cost-effective way to do it, but it does work. Or we could take well water and purify it.
That was what I was going to ask. That's the way we try to get water around here in our oil and gas operations is through water. So that's something you can utilize, right?
Yeah. We can also purify seawater. We're doing a project right now offshore of Mexico in the Gulf of America/Mexico.
Yeah, right.
On an offshore platform where they don't have water. So we pump seawater up to a water treatment facility. We purify the seawater and use that for fogging.
Now, that's interesting that you mentioned that because I was just at a produced water conference yesterday, and I've been going to these produced water conferences for years now, and I was actually talking to somebody there yesterday. I said, I'm a little bit confused. We continue to have these conferences year after year and trying to deal with, in this case, you know, you're talking about seawater out of the ocean, but in this case, produced water that comes out of the ground. And it seems like we keep talking about technology and talking about technology, but there seems to be no standard bearer in the industry. Where are we on this desalinization of water and purifying water and all that sort of thing?
Yeah, so modern technology using reverse osmosis membranes is quite effective and become much cheaper in the last 20 years. So it's pretty common. The Gulf states in Saudi Arabia, for example, which traditionally had very little water, by desalinating seawater, sometimes by, I can't remember the word, but using the heat from a gas turbine, for example, to boil water and condense it and get purified water in that way.
Like distilling it almost or something.
Like distilling it, yes. That's the word I was looking for.
Okay, all right.
They have water everywhere out there now, where even 20 years ago, they didn't have enough water. So you see green lawns in Dubai, for example, where that wouldn't have been possible 20 years ago.
We could use some of that in West Texas. You need to bring that technology over here.
Yeah. Another technology we've looked at is recovering water from gas turbine exhaust, because water is a product of combustion of natural gas. So the oxygen in the air combines with the hydrogen in the fuel and makes water. So gas turbine exhaust has about 6% water vapor in it. You can cool that and condense the water out of the gas stream and recover it. So we've looked at that for desert environments, but so far we haven't actually built one.
Okay, so you can do it in theory, but you hadn't figured out exactly how to work
it's that
out.
It's been done. The Ukrainian company did a lot of projects in Iran where they recovered water from gas turbine exhaust, but we can't work out there now.
Yeah. No, I guess you can't. That's exactly right. Okay. Thomas, I forgot to ask you, where are you? Where is ME Industries?
We're based in Southern California. We're about 45 minutes from Los Angeles International Airport.
Okay. All right.
West of L.A.
So that's your headquarters, but you've already mentioned half a dozen or a dozen different countries that you guys are in. So you guys are all over the place.
Yeah, we have quite a few installations in China, Japan, Korea, Southeast Asia, all over the Middle East, mostly in Southern Europe. I don't think we have any in Northern Europe, but it would work there. We actually are expecting some orders for North Slope, Alaska, because the summers up there have gotten pretty warm, and it's warm enough that you can do evaporative cooling.
And make that effective, huh?
And make it effective.
So you guys manufacture, you said it has manifolds and all that sort of thing. So you do the manufacturing, and then your employees go over and actually do the installations?
We supervise the installations.
Okay, so you work with a contractor.
Yeah. Either we work with a customer's contractor or we hire a local contractor and do a turnkey project for the customer.
All right. Just to boil this all down, since we're talking about water, no pun intended, but what ME Industries actually provides is, and you've been doing this for a long time, so it's not unproven technology. You've got a proven bridge here to actually go in and install these systems where you can, I think you said, deliver up to 20% more output than the existing gas turbine?
Yeah, so there's two ways fog can be applied. One is to evaporatively cool the inlet air so that all of the fog evaporates before the compressor inlet of the turbine. And another application is where we intentionally spray water into the compressor of the turbine. So that's what we call wet compression. So since the air is heated as it's compressed, the fog can evaporate. Even if it was 100% humidity outside, it could still evaporate inside the turbine. And it gives an intercooling effect, so it reduces the work of compression. So the gas turbine has a compressor that compresses the air, fuel is combusted in the turbine, and then it expands to an expansion turbine, which produces the actual power. And then the compressor is stealing about 50% of the power that's produced by the expansion turbine. So by making the compressor more efficient, we get more output at the output shaft and can drive a generator harder.
Okay, so with all this efficiency that you're talking about, and you said you're cutting cost fuels per kilowatt hour at the same time?
Yeah, we get a power increase, and we also get a heat rate improvement. So the machine gets more efficient, so it burns less fuel per kilowatt of power produced.
So if people ask, well, how much does this cost? I hate to use an old cliche, but it sounds to me like at least over some period of time, this thing's going to pay for itself. Or maybe you could say it doesn't cost anything at all in the long run. Is that right?
Well, it makes you money if you're a gas turbine operator. Typical return on investment is a year. We've had customers who paid for it in a week.
Oh, you're kidding.
One guy in Springfield, Missouri, we installed a system on a small gas turbine there, and he called a week later and said, I paid for it in the past week of operation. So 1 week it paid for itself. And then he called the next week and said, I did it again.
Wow.
So the power payment was very high, not enough power on the grid. So whatever he could produce, he could sell at a premium. So yeah, the return on investment can be very, very rapid.
And our grids are at their limits right now. Isn't that right?
They really are. In America, in particular, we spent a lot of effort and money building out a renewable grid, which is maybe a good thing, but it's expensive, and it doesn't work when the sun isn't shining and the wind isn't blowing, so you need some kind of backup for it. And gas turbines have been kind of the preferred backup. Batteries are too expensive currently to be usable for grid scale.
So now we're going back to the good old-fashioned ways, but as I said, the industry is responding because we are making them more efficient, more environmentally friendly, less emissions and that sort of thing. And that's what I mean by the oil and gas industry is not the problem with the environment. It's the solution, because all this renewables, I refuse to use the term energy transition because that's just not going to happen. And these solar and all these other things we're talking about, that's all fine and good. We need a combination of all of them. So I don't call it energy transition. I call it energy addition. And these things, even the renewables, as you just pointed out, they still have to rely upon traditional, what we would call oil and gas type operations and that sort of thing. So the thing is to make things more environmentally friendly, but to do so in a cost-effective way. And something like what you're doing here is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. I have guests on the show like this all the time. I'm always thrilled to bring them on. And I'm glad to have brought you on today, Thomas. Really have enjoyed this conversation. Did I miss anything?
No, I think that pretty well covers it.
It sounds to me like you ought to be on every gas turbine in the world.
I 100% agree with you.
Well, there you have it, folks. Proud to introduce on the show today, Me Industries. Thomas, I assume you're on LinkedIn.
I am.
Okay, so we'll put your LinkedIn URL in the show notes. And what the website is, MeFog.com. MeFog.com. Okay, well, we'll put that
in. MeFog is kind of the generic term for fogging.
A MeFog, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, explain that.
Our customers invented the word. We didn't. But.
Oh, I got you. Okay. All right. I was a little slow on the uptake there. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
MeFog.
I like that tagline. That's great. Okay. Well, Thomas, I know you're busy and we're almost up against our half hour here, so I'm going to let you go. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. And as always, to everybody out there listening, we appreciate you listening. It's what makes this one of the top-rated oil and gas podcasts, especially in HSE. So tell your friends to listen. Post us on LinkedIn. We appreciate your reviews, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Russell.
Thanks for listening to OGGN, the world's largest and most listened to podcast network for the oil and energy industry. If you like this show, leave us a review and then go to OGGN.com to learn about all our other shows. And don't forget to sign up for our weekly newsletter. This show has been a production of the Oil and Gas Global Network.